All right, lads, welcome back to me podcast, Cheaper Than Therapy. Mick Thomas here. How are you? Thanks for liking, subscribing and sharing and coming on back. I do appreciate it. Get me wherever you get your podcast from. Spotify, Podbean, Apple, iTunes. And of course, I'm over on YouTube if you want to look over there. I do look like I look like a gang member from a Mexican gang member from Southern California. No le avato. Come see me live. This Friday, the 29th, I am in New Jersey, Freehold, New Jersey, at the American Hotel in association with Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. Coming back to New Jersey. I am so, so excited on 29th of September. Saturday, I'm at Westside Comedy Club. And then in October, on the 17th to the 21st, I am in South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, the white trash capital of the world. I cannot wait to go down and buy my Trump 2024 merchandise. And everything else that goes with it, right? And all that kind of stuff. FBI, you know, the federal boob inspector shirt. Can't wait to get down and get that shirt. I can't wait to go down and just let loose and have a lot of fun with you wild motherfuckers in South Carolina. It's going to be a blast. And then October 28th and 29th, I am at the Borgata Casino, Atlantic City. One of my favorite, if not one of my favorite casinos to perform at in Atlantic City. I love it. So I'm back in Jersey again. And then March, I got some like dates. I know I got a lot of other dates coming up, but a March tour has been organized and we are filling the fuck up. So sorry about the bad language. What a horrible way to start the show. I'm trying to kind of reduce the cursing in my life. I really am. I'm trying to reduce the cursing on stage, which I don't really curse that much on stage. I do drop the odd F-bomb. Based on the type of thing I'm talking about. And I'm trying to be mindful of the old bad language. But also, if it happens, it happens. We're only human, right? We're only human. Nobody wants to be censored. Everybody wants to get in their car after a long day of work and listen to somebody just let loose every now and then. So yeah, that's what's going on. Also, the Manxiety Show. We got a brand new episode. It's Corey is editing it right now. So it should be ready in June of 26. Only kidding, Corey. Corey listens to this and he calls me out on my bullshit. So, but we have other episodes up there. Please check them out. It's a fun show. I have a lot of fun doing it with Corey. Yeah, I don't know what I was going to talk about today. I guess like it's just the thing that came, the story that kind of came to mind today was well, first of all, what I wanted to talk about was I was at the comic strip this weekend. Fucking great time. Always a great time at the comic strip. And I did a show with a very, very, very funny comedian, good buddy of mine. If you check her out, Liz Mealy, one of the funniest comedians out there. And I always hate to say she's a hilarious female comedian because then you're kind of categorizing comedy. But she's just an amazing comedian. Check her out. She's got special. She just recorded a new special, which will be coming out soon. She has an old one, which is out there too. When I say old, a handful of months ago. She just turns out material like a monster, and she's just a great comedian. We got talking about the strike, the writer's strike, the SAG strike. So everything is kind of shut down in Hollywood, right? And it's almost kind of like, you know, she was very, you know, she informed me on stuff that I didn't know about because she may be closer to the fire than I am based on what she does. You know, like some of the things that they're fighting for is the AI and what AI can do. And my argument was always, and I said it in previous episodes, well, AI could not write a Quentin Tarantino movie. AI could not come up with, like where Ricky Gervais originally came up with The Office back in the day, because when I write scripts and I write for television on the side, right? It's not my full-time job. Of course, this is stand-up is... I do independent stuff, but when you write, there's a formula you have to follow, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You come up with the best idea for a TV show, there's a formula you have to have. By page 6, this has to happen. By page 9, if you write a sitcom, it cannot be more than 21 minutes because they have to insert commercial breaks here. So a half an hour show is a 21 minute script. Each page represents a minute. You have to have 2 laughs per page. That's if you're writing a standard sitcom, right? So my point is, there's a formula. So my argument to that was, and my discussion with Liz was, like a Quentin Tarantino movie, even movies have formulas, believe it or not. But like, I'll give you an example. Some of the formulas, and if you watch, is an 8-second rule. So when you're watching a movie, it'll very rarely, it does happen sometimes, so you're not going to watch a movie tonight and go, Mick, you're a fucking liar. There are some movies that when you put it on, but it's called the 8-second rule, and it's when you, when the camera stays for 8 seconds and then it moves over, it'll change frame every, within, not more than 8 seconds. So that's considered a rule. By minute 20 in the story, the whole plot of the movie has to be revealed. So there's rules and formulas, and that's why AI can come in and just go, all right, we got your formula, let's write shows. And then she told me about, they did this one thing where an experiment, they used 2.5 men as an experiment. And what they did was, the AI did, it just scanned over all the other episodes and it wrote 10 more episodes of 2.5 men based on the knowledge it has. So, excuse me. So it's a little bit alarming, right? It's a little bit alarming. And of course, my argument was, like, you could take someone, like, again, I keep saying Quentin Tarantino, you could, AI could not write one of his movies. And then when Ricky Gervais came out in, I think, 2001, when he wrote The Office, he changed, I think, sitcoms for, you know, we don't have to have a laugh track. It doesn't have to be done in front of a live studio audience. And then what, the, and there may have been one or two around there too, but I think everybody recognizes Gervais. And then that, The Office came to America, and then that was it. Every show then was like a mockumentary, right? Like a fake talking to a camera, Parks and Recreation, and so many, many more. And but the point was, I was trying to argue back and forth by going, yeah, but look, at if you write something original, which I said in previous episodes, then AI shouldn't be able to copy that. And that was my thing, because I guess I'm a purist and whatever. And she was like, nah, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. It's just because the networks will not take a chance. And it's true. It won't take a chance. So now we have all these actors that are out of work. All these people that are out of work. It's gone so bad that Adriana, I don't know her name. I should look up her name. I should be more professional. Trying to be somewhat of a podcaster journalist. But the lady who plays Adriana in The Sopranos, she also played Wendy in Sons of Anarchy. She is now on OnlyFans. She is now on OnlyFans. So she is now doing porn. OnlyFans is not porn. It is. No, it's not. It's You Go Girl. It's independent strength for Nope, it's porn. Don't believe me? Let's see if your wife or daughter comes up and goes, hey, I was thinking of doing OnlyFans. It's porn. Again, said it before, say it again. Nay judgment over here. Nay-tha judgment coming from me. Do what you want to do. Fill your boots. Do what makes you happy. But it's porn. So, yeah, this lady, again, the lady plays Adriana. I should have been more prepared. I feel bad now for not learning her name. Because I'm horrible with names. She is now doing OnlyFans. And that's how bad it's got. And now she's going to make millions of dollars. Which, again, hey, man, fair play to you. Good for you. She'll probably make more from that than she did from The Sopranos and all the other shows she did. Because she's a celebrity and we want to see... she never got her tits out in The Sopranos. At least I don't remember. She never got naked in The Sopranos. She walked around in her underwear a lot. She was, at that time, great body in The Sopranos, right? Great. But she was kind of dressed like a like a skanky Italian. You know what I mean? Like just the horrible nails and big hair and whatever floats your boat. I know Italians, like you like weird stuff, Italians. You really do. You're into stuff. I don't judge you. Whatever you want, whatever floats your boat. But to me, it was just like, blech, very tacky. But anyway, so now she's getting her tits out. But there's a weird thing about celebrity. Like, we're, like, people being, like, celebrities, they get all these shows, like, what was I watching last night? I was at home on the couch, and I went onto cable, but I went to order a movie, and I ordered a movie. And during the movie, like, one or two commercials came up, and it was like, what's on Hulu now? And it was like this whole dramatic story about a fucking influencer. And they were just trying to squeeze the best drama out of this. I'm going to be late for my photo shoot. Like, that was the drama that was happening. But we have this obsession with celebrities and famous people that I think is starting to fade away. I think it's starting to leave us now. Rightly so, right? Rightly so, because we've held these up on pedestals for way too long. You know, I've many stories of meeting many famous people, you know, talking to them, and it doesn't faze me because I've never asked to take a picture. Never asked. There's two people I took pictures with, And I didn't ask to take him. Someone said, hey, get in, I'll take a shot at two of you. But I'm glad they did. And that was Greg Giraldo. You probably don't know who he is. One of my favorite comedians. And Norm MacDonald. I'm sure you all know who he is. Both died now, which is weird. I wonder, is that like a McThomas curse? You get a picture taken with me and off you go to the afterlife. But people who want pictures and autographs, it's the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest thing, man. Like, did I ever tell a story like about like Lindsay Lohan here? The Lindsay Lohan story. So my friend Matt Bear, Matt Coma, his name is. He's married to Hilary Duff. Sounds like I'm name dropping, but I knew him before he was anybody. I just knew him, right? I had my first guitar was from him. So I knew him before he was anyone famous. And I was watching a movie the other night, actually. What was it? 22 Jump Street. Very funny movie. And his song came on it. I like it better when we're wasted. Do, 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 do. So I watched, I forgot he was on it, right? So, but he used to date Lindsay Lohan. Sorry, Matt, if I'm giving away too much information. And he gave me her number. And I remember one time when I was coming back and forth from America to Ireland, back and forth, back and forth. So I came to America and I called her up. And I pretend to be Colin Farrell. I think I did tell the story, actually. But I was like, all right, Lindsay, listen, Colin here. Listen, I got a great story. I got a great movie for you. It's some of the film takes place in Ireland. Some of it takes place in America. It's not a big part, but it's an important part. Give me a call back. Gave her the Irish number, right, to make it authentic. I get back to Ireland because I was coming back and forth at the time before I lived here. And I checked my answer machine. And beep, it was all like my mother, like, did your brother, you'll never guess what your brother did. And my mother, did you bring back cigarettes and, you know, all that shit on duty free. And then it was like, hi, Colin, it's Lindsay. I was like, what the fuck, man? She's like, yeah, I'm just returning your call. Give me a shit back whenever, whatever. It's cool. So I used to work in a bank and I'm in the bank and it was like 11 o'clock in the morning, 5 hour difference. No, it was 8 o'clock in the morning. So 5 hour difference, which means Lindsay was out on a town party. And this is like, you're going back 20 years ago now. And the phone rings again, and I don't answer it. I don't answer it. And it was Lindsay, and she was fucking hammered drunk. And she was, you know, she was just going like, Colin, my manager said you stole my necklace, and I need it back because it's not mine. It belongs to my friend. What the fuck? Call me back. Hilarious. Heading back to America that week. Heading back to America. I'm sitting at home, right? Sitting in my house in America, watching Saturday Night Live. She is on Saturday Night Live with Colin Farrell. You have to fucking know that conversation in the green room is like, I've been calling you and you haven't been answering my call. He's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, sweetheart. It's like, fuck me, man. I wish I was a fly on the wall when that happened. Wish I was a fly on the wall. But celebrities are weird, man. I got friends who are famous people and I'm not going to mention their names because it sounds like I'm name dropping. You know what I mean? It does. It sounds like I'm being disingenuous. But one of my friends is my son's favorite actor. Right, he's my son's favorite actor. He's got all his movies. He loves the movies. He's got a picture of him on the, like, just he's his favorite actor. So I'm working with him one night at a comedy club, and I pull in and I go in and go, hey man, I got me. I message him. I go, listen, I got my son with me. He wants to come in and say hello. Is that okay? He's like, yeah, man, come on in. So my son goes in. He's talking to him. He's hanging out with him, and they go over there and they sit on a couch in the back of the comedy club, and they're just fucking talking and laughing and telling each other jokes. And, you know, then we leave. We leave, and I go down. It was around Christmas time, so I take my son, my wife, my daughter down to see the Christmas tree. I'm going to come back up and do my late spot. And we go down. We're standing outside, and I go, huh? Told you your dad knows blank. Isn't that pretty cool? Like, isn't that cool that you got to meet him? And he went, yeah, but you don't know Kevin Hart. Just like that. Just like, I was like, you know, fuck you. Like, fuck you. How fucking, like, unreal. You know when I went to your recital to watch you play cello? Hot Cross Buns and Three Blind Mice are the same fucking song and you suck at both of them. Piece of shit, man. Imagine if I was a kid. I don't know, man. It's unreal. It's unfucking real. Just a great, and you know, it's... It's funny because like there was that one, and then there was another one where I got to, and this is a funny story to me. I got to have dinner. I got to have a dinner. Now this is blown out of, this is not to be taken as it sounds. I'm going to explain it to you now. I got to have dinner with Daniel Craig one night. Now here's that. This is not like Daniel Craig called me up. Let's go for dinner. And this is the circle I go in. No, my famous friend I'm hanging out with my famous friend, and we find out that Louis C.K. is playing in a local club. I know the comedy club very well. I know the owner very well. He goes, man, I want to go see Louis C.K. I hear he's great. I've never seen him. You got it, man. No problem at all. So I call up the club and go, hey, man, listen, Louis C.K. is playing. You know Louis's playing tonight, but my friend blank, blank, blank wants to come watch the show, but he can't walk in regular time. Everybody will mob him, take pictures. The owner of the club goes, Mick, I got you. Wait till the show starts. When the show starts, when the lights are down, when Louis' opener is on, I'll bring you guys in, put you up at one of the high tables at the back of the room. No problem. So we get to the club. The show's on the way. The MC went up. The middle act went up. And then we went into the room. He brings us in the back. We're sitting up in the back. So there's a table of four people. Daniel Craig is there with his beautiful, beautiful wife. Now, so my friend is there. So we sit there. And now the thing about Daniel Craig was there because he's in from London. His limo driver is the brother of a comedian who told him that Louis, blah, blah. Long story short, I want to go fucking see Louis C.K. Same thing. Call up the club. We're all, so now the four of us are sitting there. Me, my buddy, Daniel Craig, and his fucking wife. So the show's kicking off and he's in a mood. Daniel Craig is in a mood. We're all eating burgers and we're kind of like lightly chatting, you know, and he's in a mood. He's just not, and he's on his phone and is like, and his wife's like, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm trying to get this email to go through, but it won't because I'm on the, like, because he can't log into the Wi-Fi. And I go, give me your phone. And I take his phone and I fucking log him into the Wi-Fi. And I go, wait, aren't you James Bond? Like, isn't there something hilarious about fucking the fact that you're sitting there and James Bond, the greatest secret agent of all time, can't log into the Wi-Fi? Yeah, it's uppercase R, you fucking idiot. I don't know. That's celebrity for you, man. But my favorite celebrity thing happened this week. So I have two accounts on Instagram. Not Instagram, on TikTok. I have Mick Thomas Comedy, which I'm Mick Thomas Comedy and everything. And then I have a troll account. Now, my troll account is because I want to say messed up things to people, right? Not, I don't attack normal people. I don't attack people who have, like, hey, here's my political opinion. I don't get into those rows with people. I don't like to, but every once in a while, I will go after somebody who's a fucking, like I saw something the other day and they were like, what was it? Oh, if woke teachers are so bad, then why are pro, you know, why, if you're so worried about how bad woke teachers are, I'm paraphrasing, why, you know, why is grammar so bad amongst the kids? I'm like, well, because you're teaching about pronouns and worthless shit that doesn't mean anything in the real world instead of teaching them about grammar. And I was just like, because here's what happens. Another event that happened last week I was supposed to tell you about. I didn't tell you. I promise you I will tell you maybe next week or the week after. But people came out and protested one of the comedy shows I was at. Not because of me. Because of the group that was there. But I just don't want people calling up comedy clubs. And like, the comedy club, by the way, will never pick your side. They're going to pick my side. They're never going to go, well, someone called up about McThomas, so we're not going to have McThomas here. It's not going to work. So don't, you're not wasting my time. So don't worry about that. So, but I just don't want the hassle. I don't want them to deal with extra phone calls apart from ticket sales. I don't want people having to apologize for me, but just go, he's a comedian. He can say what he wants, blah, blah, blah. If he says this, it's under comedy. You don't get it. So I said, fuck it. Let me have a troll account. And another reason I had a troll account was because, did I tell you, I think I told you the Hell's Angels story where there was, because listen, comedians, in this troll account, I like to get a rise out of people. I do not mean 98% of the shit I say. I don't mean 98% of the things I say. I say it just to get either people mad or get them to get riled up or just maybe to laugh at it. Maybe they'll laugh or people on their page will laugh. It's fun for me. It's just fun for me to blow off steam and be a fucking bridge troll on social media. So the Hell's Angels thing was, and I did this under McThomas Comedy. This one I said, you better get a troll account, mate. Because I don't know if I told you this story either, but the Hell's Angels had a video, and I follow Hell's Angels. I ride a motorcycle, right? So they were riding out, like 40 of them, and on the back of the pack was a big guy. And all I said was, motorcycle clubs are like bridal parties. There's always one fat one. Now, that's all I said. And then the Hells Angels showed up at one of my shows in Chicago and I had to be escorted out the back at the end of the show. True story. So I said, I better get a troll account or I can stop stirring the shit. No, it's too much fun. Why would I stop that? So anyway, I'm on this page the other day, and it was a liberal page. Listen, we all know McThomas is not political, but the liberals are so fucking easy to make mad. You guys are just, so easy to make mad. So I was on this liberal page, and they were talking shit about Robert Kennedy Jr. Now, Robert Kennedy Jr. running for president. He probably won't get anywhere based on no one will support him. Guy's in amazing shape, fucking push-ups, takes the shirt off, his wife is hot. Everything about him is great. I like everything he stands for. I've heard his meetings, all that shit. But again, I still won't vote. I don't trust politicians. I think when they get in, they fucking just let the reins go. Yeah, yeah. And everything they fucking believed is left. They unhitch the wagon at the back and they just ride out and do what the fuck they want anyway. So I'm on his liberal page and I just write. And they were shitting on Robert Kennedy Jr. And I wrote, that's my president. I think that's my president right there. The country will be better off when we have a real man like that in the White House. That's all I said. Do I mean it? Probably not. I mean, also, we all know my stance on Biden. A lamp would be better in office, right, than him. But anyway, so Robert Kennedy Jr. wrote back. I swear he wrote back something like, I have it in my phone saved. I did a screenshot and it was like, thank you for your support. With more and more people like this, we will be able to turn this country around and have a better future. Thank you for your vote. Now, what if he wins? What if he becomes I now have correspondence from the president of America, but I can't show anybody because he responded to my fucking troll account, not to McThomas Comedy. I can't frame that, hang it up on the wall, post it proudly, use it as my story on Instagram, virtual signal, and put it up here like that in my bio where some fucking people have a Ukraine flagger. I got the COVID vaccine, right? I can't do that now. Why? Because when they research the name of the person who Robert Kennedy Jr. responded to and says, thank you for your vote and we hope more people like you, they're going to find a guy that says, sorry, miss, the airline isn't paying for your extra seat because you're too fucking fat to fit in it. The president's not going to want to get on board with that. He's not. So now, if he wins, I would have correspondence from the president with no way of proving it was to me. Just my life. Anyway, celebrities are just people. That's all they are. Listen, I was in a hurry today. I had to run through this. I got shit to do today. I got to get out of here. I got a show tonight. And I got to leave in an hour to record the show. So I'm going to leave. Anyway, thanks for liking, subscribing, sharing and all that stuff. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on back. And as always, wash your hands, you dirty fuckers. Good luck to you.